What's up, everyone? My name is Sebastian, and you're listening to Sep Talks. With everything that's going on around us, with the media feeding us crap, with all the riots and the looting and negativity flying everywhere, I wanted to bring in someone from the African-American community and for this person to give me a perspective of how he is seeing things. So today I invited my friend Cam. He is someone that I met through social media a few months ago. And Cam has been active during this BLM movement, but he is also a business owner. He is a college student, and he's someone that is always trying to help other people, always trying to move the community forward. So I'm really, really excited for you guys to listen to this, because what I've noticed is that the number one thing we have to do as a society is listen and is understanding other people's perspective and have a little bit more empathy through what people are going through. So again, I'm really, really excited for you guys to listen to this. And without further ado, let's get right into it.
Sam, excited to have you here, man. It's been a crazy time in the world right now, and you know, like, the fact that you're willing to come on this platform and just kind of give me your perspective on things, I'm really pumped to have you here, man.
Yeah, what's up, Sebastian? Man, it's so important, bro. I feel like being able to share your perspective, especially at a time like this, to people who wouldn't necessarily hear perspective from a guy like me. I feel like it's super important, man, just to open up other people's perspective and just be able to share what life looks like on my side of the world. So yeah, man, I'm happy to be here. And I know we're going to have a really amazing conversation.
Yeah, bro. And I was telling you before we started the podcast, like, where I live in Salt Lake City, Utah, and you know, we're very well known for, Mormonism, and we're very well known for not having a lot of African Americans in this state. Mm-hmm. There's more of like the Latino, population here, but I think it would be super interesting, especially for people from here, to hear about your perspective. Because again, I think right now, I don't know, like, do you follow Andy Frisella, for example?
I've heard of his name, but I don't follow him. I've heard of him a few times though.
I recommend his podcast, man. I really recommend it, but he was kind of talking about that because, you know, he's white. And he was talking about, like, in the last 10 years, you get slammed for talking about anything that has to do with race, right? Like, if you're white and you talk about race, it's almost like you get slammed for it. And now it kind of flipped where, like, if you don't post like a picture of a black square, like, you are racist. Does that make sense? And so I think it's important for people to kind of hear your perspective. And I'd love to hear, like, what your thoughts are so far on you know, like, the movements that have happened in the last couple of weeks, and kind of go from there.
Oh man, it's so many thoughts, man. It's so many thoughts, because a lot of the things that have happened, I feel like that any other race outside of black people were getting murdered on camera. And it's not like a one-off. It's not like this happened one time and it's like a few bad cops. I'm not saying that all cops are bad by far, but I think that if this was something that happened, you would have seen 10 times the outrage that it's taken black people, like, what, 300-400 years to get to this point. And I feel like it would have happened 10 times as worse, way, way, way worse if it was with any other community. I feel like that the lives of black people are sometimes dulled down in the sense that they don't matter as much. And now I'm speaking specifically to people who don't necessarily understand why people are upset. So I do not agree with the people rioting. I don't agree in any violent protests at all. I don't think that those things are okay. But at the same time, I'm huge on empathy, and I empathize with those people. Right? Because, like, Sebastian, if your very, very close friend and then your uncle and then your youngest brother were had all had their lives taken extremely early, like didn't make it to see 24, because that's the statistical age that Black men aren't supposed to make it to see. Either you're supposed to be dead or in jail by the time you turn 24. If that had happened to you, you would be so emotionally scarred and torn that rioting and looting would probably be like one of the most least important things on your mind, because you're ready to go and kill the people that, that you feel like took your family's lives away. So I think that a lot of things that we have to understand when we're talking about a situation like this is just empathy and really taking the time to understand why people feel like this. Like the guy that you said, who said, well, white people would never allow to talk about race, that I do not believe is the case, because I've sat in several conversations where I was the only Black person and we talked about race. I think that probably one of the bigger things is that a lot of times whenever people can talk about race, they talk about it in the place of where they're standing right now instead of them sitting in the other person's shoes on whom they're talking about. So whenever that happens, I feel like because of what I've heard white people say a ton is they'll talk about race. So they'll say, but I don't understand why these Black people are so angry. I don't understand why these Latina people are doing these things, or why these African-American people are doing these things. It's because they stand from a place of economic and a certain privileges in society that everybody doesn't understand. Like a lot of my white friends have never, ever, ever seen a bad cop before. So from their perspective, they don't know what we're talking about, because every cop they've ever seen has been nice and been friendly to them. Versus if we flip the side, a lot of African-American people have only seen crooked cops, or people who are there to control, enforce their authority over people, especially when they're not doing anything wrong. So I think that in this conversation, we have to make sure that we're using empathy in order for all sides to be understood and to just get rid of the problem of hate. I feel like that's something that we can all agree on, that hate doesn't belong here. But we have to understand first where that hate is coming from, and the people that are receiving the hate, how they feel, or how the things that are coming forward. So I hope that answers your question. I know that's a little bit of a long-winded one, but yeah, it's a super multifaceted question.
I love that, and I think the hardest part for me to understand is when you talk about empathy. Mm-hmm. That's pretty wild to talk about, because you're saying, like, you know, you're very empathetic and you kind of understand why people feel this way on both sides, right? Mm-hmm. But how hard is it for you to feel empathy for a white person, for example, that is just saying, well, I haven't felt that way, and why are they so mad? Why are they so this and this and that? Mm-hmm. Like, how can you feel empathy for someone that doesn't feel empathy for you?
Mm-hmm. In a very, very strange way. And believe it, it's almost funny, because I only started feeling like this probably 3-4 months ago, probably right around the start of the year. I watched the show. It was a TV show, and it was called All American. I don't know if you've seen it, bro, but it is an amazing show. It was trending on Netflix at one point.
I've heard about it.
It's a great show, bro. But I guess the synopsis behind it, there's this Black kid who he's from Crenshaw. So Crenshaw is like the hood. Gangs, everything. He just came, and his father left. He came from a lot of the same environment where I saw myself. Now, this kid was an outstanding football player, and like most really good football players, they're usually good shipped off to schools that aren't in their community. So they usually go off to like white suburban schools. So he ended up getting shipped off to Beverly Hills. And we all know how expensive and fancy Beverly Hills is. He got shipped off to Beverly Hills High School. And he had the same perspective I had. And what he said was, all of these white kids, what problems do you have in your life? Like you're white, everything is taken care of you. Like, you don't have to deal with fatherless homes in a lot of situations. You don't have to deal with single mothers. You don't have to deal with the economic community being gutted and destroyed. You don't have to deal with gang and street violence on your way to school. You don't have to deal with the problems I have to deal with. So how do you have to deal with any problems? And whenever I saw like him, a sort of like somebody who almost resembled me going through that, I was like, wow, my thinking up until this point has been so stupid. And it's been so one-sided. It's lacked empathy so much that I can understand how somebody else who's just now seeing this problem for the first time, or has never had the problem affect them, how they can go without even seeing it or not even want to see it, so to speak, because I knew that a lot of white people struggle with things like I know depression is something that's really, really big, or like lots of drug overdose, or sometimes alcoholism. Or on the flip side, the one that got me the most was when they struggle with the same things that we struggle with. Like when they struggle with economic families that are being torn up, or when they struggle with fatherless homes. I was like, oh my God, I had never realized that somebody on the other side of the world can share the exact same problems that I share. Now there are other things that come along with that on like why things are done in different communities and how it happens differently. But a lot of the pain is a lot of the same pain. Now, whenever we're talking about stuff like this, a lot of Caucasian people haven't had to go through, I guess, like the police brutality and just like murder and violence all over the place, even before all of this stuff that's trending. I mean, it's just stuff that's been happening. They might not have to go through that, but at the same time, there are things that they do have to go through that most Black people don't. So I feel like the reason why there is so much empathy is because I realize that there are also problems that they will never 100% understand. Like you were telling me you're from Colombia. I would never 100% know what it's like to be a Colombian man that moved to America and lives in Utah because I've never done it. The same way how a white person in Utah would never know what it's like to be a kid, 20-year-old kid growing up on the south side of Texas, that they would just never know what that's like, at least not 100%, which is why conversations like this are so important, because we can share each other's perspectives and sort of connect the dots. And what I really hope we can get from this conversation is an open environment where people's minds are a lot open, but also an understanding where it's like, wow, I go through the same pain that you go through. It just might look different for me.
Man, It's insane to me, for me to think about it, because you are, like, I guess, like, after years and years of thinking one way, you're saying that you came to the realization that maybe it wasn't just everyone else around you, but it could also be coming from you, right? Like you realize like, oh man, like maybe I'm not the only one suffering, and they might be, you know, treating me different because they have their own problems, right? Like that's kind of like when you talk about empathy, that to me is huge, man. And I feel like it's not even just about race. That's just like basic, like how every human should be, right? Like it's just having that empathy and being able to, because at the end of the day, like what you're saying, man, like you don't know what it's like for, you know, I moved here when I was 11 and I didn't speak the language, and like kids are mean, dude. Like 11-year-old kids, yeah, they're savage, man. They don't care about you. Like they don't care about like anything. If you can't speak their language, they're savages. And so I guess the main thing is like, you can't really force someone to feel what you felt, because they'll never 100%, like you said, they'll never feel that. But I guess if you come into it with empathy and with kind of like, more than anything, I guess I would say like listening, then maybe we can get somewhere, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that to push that conversation a little bit forward, the reason why so many people are saying Black Lives Matter is not because Black Lives Matter more. It is 100%, and this is only speaking, the only people that will be able to hear what I'm saying is when they come from a place of empathy, is when we say Black Lives Matter, we're not saying they matter more. We're saying they matter just as much as any other life. Because, I mean, we haven't seen any viral things of white people getting shot, or even a lot of Hispanic or Latina or Indian or Asian people. We haven't seen that happen, but we've historically seen that happen. Especially since phones and social media have become popular. I mean, now every 3 to 6 months, there's another African-American person that goes viral for police brutality. And of course, there's always the we don't know what happened before the camera started happening, whatever. But I mean, on these countless occasions, even if someone were to break the law, by no means should they have to lose their life for running a stoplight or for having a busted taillight. That just shouldn't happen. And I feel like whenever we say Black Lives Matter, we have seen, I mean, on occasions where not just from the police system, I mean, from economic system, so to speak. And I really, really want to get into that. And I feel like it'll tie into one of your later questions with the economic system, with the social system, with the political system, and then especially with the social justice system. I mean, there has just been an obvious you don't matter, so to speak, in all of the systems that I just named. So whenever we say Black lives matter, it is not at all to say that our lives matter more. It's to say that they matter just as much as your life.
No, and okay, so I have gone through a journey in this year, like literally like in the last 2 weeks, man. And I'll be completely honest with you. The way that I felt before was, it was kind of like what we were talking about, where I felt like I've been a minority my entire life. I've been discriminated against. I've been bullied against. There's always like every single race has some sort of stereotype that people jump on, right? And like, for example, like people think that if you're Colombian, you are somehow related with cocaine because of Pablo.
Yeah.
Right. So I feel like my whole life I've been like, I've seen these things where like people that they're not trying to be racist and they're not trying to make you feel bad, but they make comments where you're like, oh man, that really sucks. Mm-hmm. And like, for example, I remember when I was a kid, I moved here when I was 11. Mm-hmm. And the number one thing I wanted to do was to get rid of my accent. Mm-hmm. Because my accent like immediately gave me away. And people thought like, oh, he's not from here. And that led to like very uncomfortable situations and very uncomfortable conversations with people that, again, they didn't mean to be rude, but it still happened. And it still kind of, it messes with your mind in the back of your head, right? Mm-hmm. And so with that, I feel like my whole life I went through thinking like, you know, it's either you're white or you're a minority. And because of that, like, even in the past, man, like, Black Lives Matter, I didn't understand it. I 100%, I didn't understand it because I said, wow, like, it shouldn't be about just Black lives. It should be about, like, everyone should be the same. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, there's been a shift in the way that things are happening right now where I'm finally understanding that it's not, like you said, it's not about, like, you guys matter more. But it's that you've been so oppressed in the last 400 years that we just need to get you to a fair playing field or a fair level, right?
And yeah, and I think people don't understand what you just said, because what you just said was 400 years. That's what, five generations almost of five to six generations of racism, of Jim Crow, of segregation, of desegregation, and then of whatever they're going to call this area in time in 20, 30 years from now. And that is something that has been ingrained in our culture. A teacher told me this one time, and I thought this was beautiful. So what she told me was, would you agree that the computer is sort of similar to the human brain? So not 100% right, but sort of similar, though, right? So let's say if I had a computer, right? I take this computer, and then I take all of the music off of this computer. I wipe all of the computer's history. As a matter of fact, I don't take just the history and the music. I take the language that the computer speaks. So like the code and everything like that, I take it, I shift it around, and then essentially what I put on this virus, on this computer, was a virus. And then what she said was, so now what happens when the computer starts bugging out? Like if I try to use the computer to play games, if I try to use the computer to send an email or something like that, the computer wouldn't work, right? Like I mess up its code, I can't listen to music on it, I can't do anything on it because the computer has been completely messed up already. So what she told me was, now what if I called the virus that I put in this computer nigger? And then how do you think that Black people have to feel about these things? Because now we're talking about 400 years. Now we're talking about grandparents and grandfathers who saw their brothers and sisters being literally hung on trees on a very, very, like it was Sunday, like it was a Sunday dinner, like it happened all of the time. And now that that's been ingrained in our society, there's a lot of times where we have to say Black Lives Matter because we have to force ourselves to believe Black Lives Matter, because in almost every facet of American society, whenever we look, we get told that they don't matter. And a lot of times we can go to churches, especially in the South, there's a ton of churches, and we see like big paintings of like this white, of like white Jesus. Or if we look at literally all of our presidents up until the past, I want to say 12 years since Obama got elected, every single one of those guys are white guys. If we look at billionaire CEOs, the ones that are usually propped up to the top, they're all white guys. As a matter of fact, if we don't look in any other industry besides entertainment, so sports, actors, people that are meant to entertain and not educate, we only see white people as far as what signs of success are. So by that subconscious, and that's when I say built-in privilege or built-in racism, because those are things now, if I look in literally any direction besides going to the NBA, going to the NFL, or getting famous, which literally 0.001% of people, not just black people, people do, I only see a person where being white, like you were saying, removing my accent, removing the things about me that make me me. That's the only thing that I see. So yeah, man, it's a really, really deep rooted issue that I hate for people to miss out on, because things that are so usual to them could sometimes be detrimental to us.
So do you think that what is happening right now, it definitely feels, to me, it feels a little bit different. And like you said, you know, every 2 or 3 months, there's a new viral video that's going out of a black person being killed by the police, right? But I feel like for some reason, like it feels different, right? And obviously we've seen like there's major protests all over the country and even internationally. Right. So do you feel like this is different? Do you feel like this is something that could actually lead us to a better place?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I have been speaking out so much just because it feels so different for me, just because we are so, so fed up. Like, I guess people who are outside of our community, they won't necessarily know the things that we're 100% fed up with. But you have to understand that all of the police killings don't make it to camera. They're probably, I mean, less than 1% of the police killings actually make it to camera. But these are people that, while you might not know, I went to middle school with this person, or while you might not know what's going on, I grew up with this guy. And I think that it's things from as far as us being sentenced to prison on much longer sentences than anyone else, whether it's like, yes, being bullied by the cops, whether it's us being placed in communities where I mean, things as far as government structures are pushed in place to keep us and have us here. I think everyone's so, so fed up. And then on top of that, I think that we have backing of people like you who are ready to listen. I think that before, it might not have been your time to really understand, because now, before, you might have had the platforms for, if you did understand, to really reach it. Or Sebastian, there are certain people that even on this talk, I won't be able to reach, that you open your eyes is going to have to see, and so on and so forth. To the people listening to this podcast, there will be people who I think it's just time. There, in me saying it, Obama saying it, Kevin Hart saying it, all of these people saying it, it won't matter as much as if you say it and if you go tell someone. Because now I feel like it's the time where it's time to make a very, very historical change. And allow and force these things to stop happening.
Yeah, I was watching this video by David Goggins. Have you heard of him?
No.
No. So David Goggins is just like a badass dude that just works his ass off. Like he's one of like the hardest men on earth. Like he just does crazy things in the world. And so he was talking about this, and he was talking about the fact that, number one, what I've seen, for example, is that I have Latino friends, I have black friends, I have all sorts of friends in different communities. And they almost talk about like, it's us versus them, meaning minorities against white people. Mm-hmm. And David Goggins was talking about this, and he said like, the only way that we can really advance as a society is when white people are the ones that are talking to their families and are the ones that are saying it's not white against black, but it's about racism against, you know, anti-racism, right? Like, and so he was saying like the only way that change can really happen is when white people can actually take action, and when minorities like myself take action and stand up against racism. And I thought that was a great point, because you hear people talk about, like, you know, cops are pigs. And to me, I don't know how you feel about it, but to me, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense, because I know not all white, all cops are bad. Just the same way that not all Latinos are bad, and not all, you know, African-Americans are bad. And so it's kind of like the same way, where, like, people are giving you stereotypes, but then you are giving those people stereotypes. So, like, what are your thoughts on all that?
So much, man. I think particularly what you said is, I don't think all cops are bad, by far. I know there are some people that will tell you that, but I don't think that at all. I know some cops that are pretty much a part of my family, like aunts and uncles to me. I know some cops that are not always the best people, that can sometimes be very prejudiced and sometimes commit atrocious acts. But I probably know more cops that are just all in all good people. Now, this is what I will say, because I feel like it'll speak to your point in general, is a conversation that I had with the police officer. And what I told him was that the reason why I can't get behind you, and I can't push anybody else to get behind you, is because you were around whenever that, even though you're not racist, you were around whenever the racist cop, whenever the cop that commits all of these atrocious acts, whenever he said, "Damn, those niggas get on my nerves. Damn, I can't stand those niggas." And you knew the type of person he was, and you also knew the acts that he was going to commit just by based off his thinking and watching and seeing him every day, but you didn't speak up. And I feel like because you didn't speak up, I can't get behind you, because you're just as bad as the person that committed the act. Not because you did it, but because you created an environment where his hate is comfortable. He can be comfortable thinking the way he is, because you chose not to challenge him to do that. Now, whether it was your you felt like your job was going to be at risk, whether it was the fear of no longer being able to put food in your family's mouths, I 100% understand. But at the same time, when you swore in to serve and protect the people of this community by any means. So I have a funny time understanding how can you go into a high-risk situation where your life might be at risk if somebody robs a store or if something crazy happens, but you can't speak out whenever your coworker is being racist. Because, I mean, the cops are some of the bravest people I know, but I need them to be brave in every facet, not just these one or two. Because, I mean, I feel like we've seen enough to know that this isn't the one-off cop. This isn't like a unicorn that happens. Like, this is a systematic problem. And I think to really speak to your whole point is, I can't get behind anyone that supports hate, even if your support is silence. I just can't get behind it. In any sense of hate, whether it's hate for a Caucasian person, whether it's hate for a Latina person, a Colombian person, African-American, Indian, Asian person, if you support hate, then I can't get behind you. Because racism, I feel like, is honestly just a mixture of fear and hate. And those two mixed together creates a lot of this terrible things that we're coming against. So I think my overall answer is that I can't get behind anyone that supports that.
Right, and when you talk about silent hate, I think that right there in itself is probably the biggest problem, because again, it's like what you're saying is, you know, we might not be outspoken about saying, like, hey, I have prejudice against this person and this person, but you're essentially like preparing an environment that welcomes those types of thoughts, right?
And that's just as bad.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's just as bad. And, you know, I think there's been a quote that goes around where, like, if you're not anti-racism, you are racist, right? Like, and I think that quote has really stuck with me, because, again, with what I've been telling you, like, I have been part of jokes, and I have been part of the problem, where even when people say things about my own race, right, I haven't stood up and said, that's not okay. I've simply like looked away, or I've, you know, chuckled a little bit. And it was because of that fear of confrontation, really, which is crazy to think about, because it's like you're afraid of, you know, talking to someone about an uncomfortable subject, but that person could very much lead someone else to be hurt by, you know, by the police, or do something that's much bigger than just an uncomfortable conversation.
Man, I think probably like the best point that I love to talk about is to really sum it up and just make it simple. Everything you just said was, if you have a cup of water and someone next to you is dying of thirst, and you allow that person to die while you still have that cup of water in your hand, you're as just a murderer as someone who shot or killed someone, because you didn't use the power that you had to prevent atrocious acts from happening. And I feel like that's what it is. And I'm not saying that because you've done it in the past, that makes you a terrible person. That's not what I'm saying at all. But to point into the future, or to point into the right direction, I feel like we can't make that something that's okay. And I feel like we have to make speaking up and having conversations like this something that's just important in all of our lives, and not just something that happens as a one-off or happens whenever someone goes viral or someone getting killed. I think it's something that has to happen on a very, very consistent basis, or else things stay like this and things don't change. And I think that's probably like the biggest thing. Like you have to use your power, because it doesn't matter how big or how small you are, you have power to speak to someone. And I feel like you have to use that power to commit to making change.
What did you think about the Black Square movement of people posting a photo of the Black Square and kind of like leaving it off, showing support for the community? Mm-hmm. How did you feel about that?
I felt a few mixed emotions. I felt, and the reason why I say my emotions were mixed was because I didn't want it to be another thing where people just do something out of emotion, but then they never actually make change to the thing that they're trying to do. So I was like, I don't want everyone on Instagram, the billion or so people that are on Instagram, to post this Black Square. Instagram goes completely back black for a day, and then everything goes back to nothing. I feel like the only way that the Black Square can matter is if it's used as a catalyst and not as a, like, an end-all be-all. This Black Square has to mean I support you. It should be sort of like a flag of saying we are all supporting and behind the same cause, and we support this cause by dot dot dot. And I feel like that the next few words comes by the person. So I support this cause by having a talk with my family on how whenever this happens, this isn't okay. Or I support this cause by I will take a portion of my money and I will spend it to Black businesses. Or I support this cause by whatever your way is. It literally does not matter how big or how small it is. Now, when it comes to like African American people or people directly impacted, I personally believe our things should be much bigger than other people's are, because like, so for mine, it's much, much bigger. I'm on this podcast with you. I just led a discussion last night with, I think I had 7 or 8 high school juniors. So people who were directly impacted by everything going on. And believe it or not, I actually thought it was funny, because they are when I say directly impacted, like they are going to school with a lot of these guys, or they're running into a lot of these cops on sometimes a very consistent basis. And I said, and I laughed at them, because I was like, it is a world trend going on about you guys, and y'all are the only ones that aren't speaking up. And I thought that was super funny. Not funny in the sense of like it's something bad, but it's something that it's like even they don't understand how much their voices matter. And these are kids with tens of thousands of Instagram followers. Like these kids are popular in the mud. Like they can make anything go trending in the city of Dallas. But I say, but this is the time where you guys have to understand it's the most important to speak up, because what we're asking them to do is something that it's sort of unordinary. Like there aren't a lot of 16-year-olds that are being asked to speak up against social injustice at 16. I mean, but this is one of those times where it's like, okay, your voice matters more now. Your voice has always mattered, but now people's ears are open to listen to it. And I think that now is the time for you to speak up. So yeah, man, it's such a multifaceted, I think is the word I was thinking of, but it has so many different parts and so many different angles around this, like the conversation as a whole.
So yeah, I mean, I think when I woke up on, I think it was, yeah, it was Tuesday, mm-hmm. and I saw these Black Squares, and I saw, you know, a lot of people talking about it. And it's funny because, again, like, my first reaction was like, I need to post this now. But mm-hmm. it wasn't because, you know, I've told you the way that I feel about mm-hmm. all this and then kind of like mm-hmm. how my mindset has changed, but mm-hmm. it wasn't necessarily because I knew that by doing this, I would change something, but it was mm-hmm. more about like, by doing this, I'll prove to others that I stand mm-hmm. by this. Mm-hmm. And that is something that I kind of stopped myself and I said, why am I doing this? Mm-hmm. because if I post this square, it doesn't mm-hmm. mean anything. It doesn't mm-hmm. do anything. And mm-hmm. and if you don't see, like, for example, if you see my social media and you look mm-hmm. and see that I didn't post a square, I don't mm-hmm. know if that would be like, if you would think like, oh, he's racist because he didn't post a square. Mm-hmm. In all actuality, I would say like, it doesn't matter whether or not you post a square. It's just about like, what is the change that you're going to be making every mm-hmm. single day for mm-hmm. the rest of your life? Like, mm-hmm. it's really about like that commitment of like, from this point on, like, mm-hmm. I will commit to stand up against what I don't believe in. You know what Absolutely. I mean? And it's not Absolutely. About being aggressive. It's not about like imposing your thoughts on someone else, but it's about mm-hmm. saying like, man, like, I have been part of the problem. And I think that's the biggest thing is like, mm-hmm. I know people, I would say everyone in the world has mm-hmm. dealt with something and mm-hmm. they probably haven't talked about it, right? Like, mm-hmm. they didn't stand mm-hmm. up at that moment. Yeah. And yeah. now, like, we're in this point where, like, okay, great. You posted a black square, but, like, mm-hmm. man, like, next time I see you or next time something mm-hmm. happens, mm-hmm. I really hope that you live by what you're posting, because mm-hmm. social media is very much, like, a lot about pressure and a lot about, like, I do this so I can be seen as, and not mm-hmm. about action.
Absolutely. I mean, because Sebastian, I didn't post the square, like, just to be honest with you, and I'm one of the people directly impacted by everything that was going on. As a matter of fact, I almost made a joke about it because I didn't know. I think I was like you. I didn't know people were posting the black square. Yeah, I didn't know people were. I woke up and I took a picture of my bed. I had just woke up and I was like, whoa. I thought my Instagram was broke, and I was like, and then I looked and I was like, oh, okay, it's something going on after I read the captions. But then I was like, okay, y'all got to tell somebody before we go on strike. But it was a funny thing, but it was something that I later on spoke about. And I was like, I'm not trying to, you know, necessarily make a funny out of this, but it's something I think a catalyst has to be the word that we have to use for the black square. Is it something that, because somebody posted a black square, like, for example, you didn't post it, but it was still used as a catalyst for your action, because what you just said was so important, and you said change every day for the rest of my life, and I feel like that was the purpose of it, and I feel like people who just posted it, in the same way you do, if you just posted it, that you didn't really mean to get anything out of it, but I feel like you have to continue to push forward, continue to go forward, every day for the rest of your life, making change. And as long as it was used as a catalyst, then you're on the right track.
So I want to ask you, like, what can we do? Everyone mm-hmm. that is a minority, and if, you know, you're white, Latino, what can we do mm-hmm. to not just show support, but actually move towards a better society and a better future for all of us? Mm-hmm.
I feel like suffocating the hate, man, is probably it's the only answer to me that I can come to that feels right. It is suffocating the hate. Now, if we're talking about people who are outside of the community, I feel like we have to start implementing a powernomics for people. I'm sorry, people who are inside of the community. So for like us, black people, we have so much pressure, we have so much influence, whether it be influence from our entertainers, influences from some politicians. We have so much influence, but we allow our influence to be built around infrastructure that we don't own. And I mean like signed letters, like we don't run the economic system of our celebrities. Like if ESPN decides to not have LeBron James on anymore, then he loses his deals because his Gatorade contract, his Nike contract, and his NBA contract, all of those infrastructures are around a community that black people don't own. And LeBron James is probably one of the most essential things to the African American community, essential people to the African American community. I think that for us, we have to learn how to pay our own bills and learn how to build our own economic structure and learn what it's like to go through the committed grind. And sort of like I was saying, the 400 years you spoke on earlier is undo that 400 years of social engineering or social training, where you have to act like this. You have to go to school pretty much where all of your professors will be white, all of your classmates will be white, just to go get a job where all of your coworkers and your boss will be white. So you integrate in sort of a white society. Not there's nothing wrong with doing any of those things, but I feel like we have to have our own communities on things that we own. We have to have our own businesses, our own homes, our own society in general that is owned by us. Now, as far as what the community as a whole can do, is I would say continue to speak up. As I think the biggest one, as far as what everyone can do, is know we cannot make it a place where hate is acceptable. Whether it's black hate, whether it's white hate, or any of these other things, these atrocities only happen because we have been quiet for so long about hate that we've seen. Like the cops that continue to shoot these people, they weren't people that sat in jail every day and decided to pop out the day that they wanted to kill a black dude. Those guys had careers, sometimes decades long, in the police force. Sometimes before they were even police, they had careers previously then too. And they were able to go so long because people chose not to speak up on the things that they had going on. So I think the biggest thing that we can do is speak up.
Wow, man. Dude, really powerful stuff, man. I'm really happy that I got to talk to you, just because, again, like, sometimes it's just the action of talking to someone else, of hearing other people's perspectives. Mm-hmm. And what really amazes me and it makes me happy is to see how much empathy you have, and how much love you got. You know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, like, I do believe, like, most of us are good people, right? Mm-hmm. And I consider myself a good person, and I know I've done very bad things in my life. But it's about, like, I don't know, it's like every single day we need to take action just a little bit more to get closer to live in a society where, like, not, I don't know if you would call it equality, but it's just like where you and I and any other white person have the same amount of privilege, or at least like some sort of like a leveled playing field. So yeah, man, I really appreciate it. I think I'd love for you to talk about, you know, we've talked about like economics and business. How do you, you know, like you own your drop shipping and online marketing business, right? So maybe talk about that and see, and like maybe talk about how you would recommend or you would go about companies or corporations talking about this specific subject, because it's a very touchy subject for a lot of people.
It is. I'll actually use an example on things that have happened before. So the WNBA has a lot of women that are gay. A lot of gay women that are there. I was trying to figure a better word for it, but there are a lot of women that are gay. And whenever an issue comes up of rights not being in place for gay women, you see the WNBA standing up because a lot of their employees are lesbian. I feel like that has to happen the same in situations like this. So I saw what I don't see a lot of, and this is one of those things where sort of not a surprise, but it's one of those things that is, it kind of shows you the exact things that we're talking about, how people lack empathy and how hate has been allowed to sort of like build up. When people, lots of NFL teams haven't spoken up. Lots of NBA teams haven't spoken up. But their almost entire ecostructure is surrounded around the people that are directly impacted by this. I saw Netflix speak up. Now, like Netflix is one of those companies that I would probably say has a really great mix of people that they employ, whether it's like contractor that they do stand up for, or they're writers and all of that good stuff. They have probably a really good mix, and I saw them speak out. And I feel like sometimes that speaking out is something that's important. And I feel like that, so like Target, what I heard someone say was, what did Target ever do to these people? And while I agree, while I 100% agree that nobody should be rioting or looting, you have to also understand that Target Walmart, your favorite grocery store, and all of these other companies up until this point have remained quiet for these things that were going on. They knew that this was happening. Like, this is no surprise to a lot of people who are well connected with the world, how, like, with a lot of these people, that's their job, is to be well connected. There's no surprise that Black people are dying at an alarming rate, and we continue, and up until this point, we will continue to run our business, never talk about it, never speak up about it. So I feel like because you didn't suffocate the hate, because you didn't do these things, in a very, very strange way, I feel like this is the thing that you have to deal with whenever you went so long without saying things. Now, again, I will, like, continue to reiterate this. I do not think people should be rioting and looting. I don't think that goes anywhere close to the problem that we're trying to solve. But I will say that a lot of the things that the people have been doing is that we can't say it hasn't gotten the attention of the world. And we can't say that some people aren't fed up and are not well deserving, isn't the word by far, but aren't there. I can't necessarily blame people for wanting to do these things because so many things have been allowed to happen up until this point.
What are your thoughts on, like, I've seen, for example, videos and people are definitely talking about people inside, like outside of the Black community, are setting people up to rob. They're setting people up to loot a business, to break windows, all that stuff. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but how do you feel about that?
It's 100% happening, and it's happened. And I'll tell you something that's so funny is those are the term that a lot of people are using for them are agents, so to speak, agents to cause chaos or agents to cause an uproar. They've been a part of every historical uproar. I mean, whether it's the people when I'm trying to think, I want to tell you it was the World War II. Whenever I want to tell you it was like the hippies, so to speak, or the Sunflower Child or something like that, when they didn't want to necessarily fight, there were people who they had dress up as those people and insinuate chaos inside of those communities. We can go back as far as civil rights. We can pretty much go to any era in history where the people in power were at odds with the community, and the people at power placed people inside of the community to keep them from being together or keep them from being uproar. I feel like that's something that at this point we should expect, only because pretty much all of us have sat in a history class before. It's something that we should expect to happen. It is something that we cannot allow to happen, because I've seen people spray. It was like a white dude with a mask on, and where you couldn't see his face at all, he spray paints "kill the police" right outside of a peaceful protest, and then walks off. You never see him again. And you see in the video, you see people going to, like, paint over that, because that's not what this movement is about. That is not what we're saying. We are not anarchists. Now, I can almost see how somebody will believe that, because if, like I was saying earlier, if this were to happen to any other community, it would be an absolute outrage. We would be about to go to civil war if this were to happen with another community. But Black, I mean, and I feel like I can safely speak for over 90% of the community, we do not want to necessarily have a war. We don't want to kill police. We don't want to do any of these things. We want police to stop killing us by far. And whenever it comes to such an atrocious act, the only way I could ever think of a police being harmed in the community is if a police were to come and do harm first. But no one in any of my talks, any of the group of people that I've spoken to, has ever been belligerent and said, I want to go out and hurt a police officer. A lot of that, those anarchists, a lot of those people that are being placed in the community, are to stop talks like this from happening. And it's to keep things, stop things from progressing forward. And I feel like whenever we see that, that's something we have to call out. That's something we have to say, hey, bro, we need you to get the hell out of here, because you're the exact problem whenever you come in and do things like that.
That's awesome, dude. Like, thank you again so much for sharing your perspective. This is a eye-opening. This is great to hear, like, people like you that are just, I don't know, looking for the world to move forward. And like I said, man, like I'm learning, just as much mm-hmm. as everyone else right now is. And mm-hmm. I'm hoping that I can become a better person and support mm-hmm. your community and support minorities and I don't know, just do better mm-hmm. and do best for the world, right? Mm-hmm. I, you know, just to close things off, man, like, mm-hmm. please share your Instagram handle, your businesses, so that people can go follow you, they can be in touch with you. And before you do that, I just want to mention, like, I've met you through social media, and mm-hmm. we've kept in touch because I love your hustle. Mm-hmm. I love that you're always just working hard for a better future for yourself and for those around you. And, you know, if you're listening to this, I highly recommend you guys follow Cam and see his journey and kind of just listen to more people like him, because we definitely need it, especially in this mm-hmm. moment of time.
Yeah, thank you so much, bro. So my Instagram handle and my handle on all platforms is this, so THIS and then Cam, so KA and then two M's. On YouTube, it's just one M, but on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, it's this and then Cam with two M's. So I really hope you guys follow me. I respond to literally every single DM. Even if it takes me a couple hours, I respond to every DM you guys send me. So if you have any questions about this topic, you guys check out my Instagram and my stuff. You'll see I do a lot of other things. So if you have any questions about that, please feel free to reach out to me. I absolutely would love to speak to you guys. So Sebastian, man, thank you for having me, bro. Like you said, I think it was a great conversation, and a lot more conversations like this need to happen. So I whenever I have a call with my guys, I always give them homework, so to speak, and I just laugh at them because, you know, because of quarantine, they weren't in school, so I give them homework, and I said, like, my homework for you guys is just have the discussion, talk to somebody about it, but commit to making a change if it's something that you really, really care about. So, Sebastian, man, thank you for having me again.
There you guys go. I hope you are able to get a new, refreshing perspective from this. Like I said, I think the number one thing we need to do is talk to one another, collaborate, but above everything else is looking inward and asking ourselves hard questions where we are actually seeing if our actions are matching our intent. Social media and all these other platforms are means for us to prove to others that we care, but there comes a time where you can't keep proving yourself to others, and you need to take action on the things that you truly believe in. So I encourage you guys to take action, and I encourage you guys to pay attention to what you're doing individually before you go out and look at everyone else. Thank you guys for listening to this episode, and I will talk to you guys later.